We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
Now, we're talking today on this subject, finding God's way in a dark day. And these are dark days indeed, but God wants to lead His people. Listen to the scripture here in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. What a thrilling, exciting promise. Now notice, He tells us that we're not to lean to our own understanding. Man is a clever creature, but he's lost his way in the darkness. There have been some amazing things, scientific breakthroughs. Man has split the atom and created nuclear devices that are capable of destroying life as we know it on planet Earth. Space travel has become a reality. Now you think of that. If you told your great-grandfather that, he would have said, not only is that improbable, that is absolutely impossible. But now man has walked on the moon, and we've made probes to Venus and Mars and regions beyond. And then think of how communications have developed in our lifetime. Now, you know, the Bible says in the last days men shall rush to and fro. Well, you think about it. We have automobiles now that can travel at 600 miles an hour on land. They've done that in the salt flats. Airplanes that travel at 2,000 miles an hour. Spaceships that travel at 24,000 miles per hour. It's an amazing thing. A man went out here to the airport, I'm told, and asked a clerk, how long does it take to fly from Memphis to Dallas? He said, just a minute. He said, thank you. We can get there faster, but we still don't know where we're going. About all we've really added is speed and noise, but not much light. You see, ladies and gentlemen, man is a clever creature, but he has lost his way in the darkness. We don't seem to be able to find God's way in this dark day. And yet I want to give you some scriptures to put there in the margin by Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Listen to this wonderful, wonderful promise in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Not part-time guidance. The Lord shall guide thee continually. We don't have to be misguided men in an age of guided missiles. The Lord will guide us continually. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. That's God's promise. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. A sweeter promise could not be found in all of the Word of God. Or I love this one. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says concerning our salvation and what God has done for us and in us and through us and what He will do with us. He says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now listen to this. Which He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you know what that means? That means that God had a plan for my life before He laid the foundation of this world. He hath before ordained that I should walk in them. You see, God doesn't just have a plan for nations, and God doesn't just have a plan for congregations. God has a plan for individuals. The very hairs of your head are numbered. In Psalm 37, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, not just his entire life, but every individual step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Psalm 37 and verse 23. How wonderful that God is going to guide us. And God has a plan for everyone. God has a plan for the plumber as well as the preacher. God has a will for your life as well as my life. And I want to tell you, dear friend, if God calls you to be a plumber and you end up being a preacher, you're taking second best. Did you know that? You are. Listen, to do God's will is the highest achievement of any person. What is God's will? What is success? Success is not spelled M-O-N-E-Y. Success is not spelled F-A-M-E. Success is the progressive realization of the will of God for your life. That's what success is. Now, if God has a will for your life, God has a plan for your life, we would expect God to reveal that plan for us. Our job, our duty, our privilege, our exciting thrill is to find the will of God, follow the will of God, and finish the will of God. So that we can come when we put the last period upon the last sentence, upon the last paragraph, upon the last page of human history, when we come to the end, we can say, I finished the work thou gavest me to do. And he can say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's what success is. Now, the Bible tells us clearly and plainly, magnificently, that if in all of our ways we will acknowledge him, that he will direct our paths, that God will lead us to know his will for our lives. Now, remember, he has a will for your individual life. God doesn't make copies. He only makes originals. There's a will for me, a will for you. God has as many methods as he has men. He has but one purpose for my life and your life. We all have the same purpose. It's to be like Jesus. Ah, but he has many plans for us. And those plans are individual, and they are marvelous indeed. So let's talk a little bit about letting God direct our lives, to have a God-directed way, to find God's way in these dark days in which we are living. First of all, I want you to see there should be a trusting confidence. A trusting confidence. Look in verse 5. Trust. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. This trusting complete confidence. Now notice in whom we're to trust. We're to trust in the Lord. I don't have some scheme here today I'm going to ask you to subscribe to. I'm not asking you to trust in a plan. I'm not asking you to trust in a program. I'm not asking you to trust in a philosophy. I'm asking you to trust in a person, and he's the only one that we ought to trust in, the Lord, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, do you find it difficult to trust in the Lord, especially with all of your heart? You have a half-hearted trust. Do you want me to tell you why? You may not like what you're going to hear, but I'll tell you why if you're having difficulty trusting in the Lord. If you're having difficulty trusting in the Lord, it's because you don't love the Lord. Now, you see, you can't trust a person that you don't love. I mean, have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, hey, will you do something for me? Just say a perfect stranger. Will you do something for me? Well, what's your first question? Well, what is it? What is it? And they say, suppose a perfect stranger says, well, never mind what it is. Just trust me. Will you do it? I'd say, no, you're going to have to tell me first. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you might ask me to do. Isn't that right? But now suppose my wife comes to me. My darling Joyce comes to me. And she says, Adrian, will you do something for me? I say, what is it, Joyce? She says, never mind, just trust me. I probably wouldn't do it either. No, I would. I would. My first question would be, now, wait a minute, what is it? What do you want me to do? But if she were to say to me, never mind what it is, just trust me. I know her enough. I love her enough. I know that she loves me enough that she would not do anything to harm me or embarrass me or put me in a position that would not be for my welfare. And I could say, and I believe I would say, I'll do it. Why? Because I love her. It's hard to trust somebody that you don't love. Now, wait a minute. We're not finished yet. Why don't you love him? Because you don't know him. Friend, if you knew him, you'd love him because he's altogether lovely. He is altogether trustworthy. The people who do not love him are the people who do not know him. How could you know him and not love him? Well, why is it that we do not know him? It is because we're not spending time with him. You can't love someone that you don't spend time with, that you don't know, because you can't know somebody that you don't spend time with. There's no real love at first sight. There may be infatuation, but as we come to know him, we come to love him. And as we come to love Him, we come to trust Him. And as we come to trust Him, we come to obey Him. And as we obey Him, we are blessed by Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Are you spending that quality time with Him in His Word that enables you to know Him so that you might love Him, so that you might trust Him, so that you might obey Him, so that you might be blessed of Him? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with A-double-L, all thine heart. And notice again, verse 5 says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, I want to make something crystal clear here, I trust, by the aid of the Holy Spirit. The Bible does not say we're not to have understanding. The Bible does not say here that we're not to understand. God wants us to understand. He says, lean not to your own understanding. Verse 7 makes that very clear if you look at that. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Why is that? Well, Proverbs 14, verse 12 makes it very clear. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You can say, oh, I've got it all figured out. I've consulted the banker, I've consulted my doctor, I've consulted my psychiatrist, I have consulted my intellect, and I have looked at all of the factors. I have it all figured out. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. Jeremiah said, it is not in man to direct his steps, and he's right. But that doesn't mean we're not to understand. It means we're not to lean upon our own understanding. Look in chapter 2 of Proverbs here, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my word and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to, what's the next word? Understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So here God is not saying that we are not to use that sanctified wisdom that he gives us. He just simply says we are not to lean to our own understanding. We're not to be wise in our own sight. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But God is to give us his wisdom, and God is to give us his understanding. Hallelujah. How wonderful that is. And so, number one, if you would find God's way in a dark day, if you would know the will and the way of God for your life, there must be a trusting confidence. A trusting confidence. Not a self-confidence, a confidence in Him. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Number two, not only must there be a trusting confidence, there must be a total commitment. A total commitment. Look in verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Do you see it? In all your ways, totally, completely, a commitment to Him that acknowledges Him as Lord over every area of my life. That's what it means, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him how? As Lord, as sovereign God, as the one whose right it is to rule over my life. I acknowledge Him in my business life. I acknowledge Him in my recreational life. I acknowledge Him in my domestic life. I acknowledge Him in my worship life. I acknowledge Him in my leisure time. In all of my ways, not some of my ways, there is to be a total commitment to Jesus Christ if you would find God's way on a dark day. Do you know what you need to do? You need to sign a blank check and give it to God and say, God, fill it in. What you need to do is to sign the contract at the bottom and say, here it is, Lord, I can trust you, fill it all in. One of my favorite preachers is Dr. Stephen Olford. When Dr. Olford was a young man, he was raised in Africa, the son of missionary parents. He's a brilliant boy. He decided he wanted to pursue a course in engineering. He went away to an engineering school, one of the finest schools. in all of the world. Stephen Olford was a top student, the equivalency of straight A's. His plan was to become a successful engineer, to go back to Africa, to have leisure, to have the nice things that money could buy, and to help the missionaries and the work of God on the side. It seemed a real fine plan to him. It was one that he'd worked up in his own mind. And it seemed good. He had it all set. He was leaning on his own understanding. His father was back in Africa. Olford was away in school. He got sick. He went to the doctor. He was in bed. The doctor came to his bedside and said, "Young man, in 2 weeks, you will be dead." His life caved in around him. Here he was, leaning on his own understanding, making his own plans. While he was on that deathbed, that sick bed, a letter came from his missionary daddy. And it took months for the mail to travel. The daddy had no way of knowing the condition of the son and the condition his son would be in when the letter arrived. But in that letter, Stephen Olford's dad said to him those words, those poignant words that you and I have heard and quoted so many times that perhaps they have become trite to us. But in that letter, Stephen Olford's dad said to him, "'Tis but one life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." God broke through to this young man, and he bowed his head, and he prayed this prayer. And I want you to listen to it. Only three words in it. Anywhere, anytime, any cost. Amen. Would you be willing to pray that prayer? Would you be willing to say today, "Lord, anywhere, anytime, any cost"? Oh, you say, "No, I'd be afraid to do that." I'll tell you why. Because you're not trusting him with all your heart. You're afraid of him. And if you're afraid of him, it's because you don't love him. And if you don't love him, it's because you don't know him. And if you don't know him, it's because you haven't been spending time with him. Friend, don't be afraid of the will of God. The will of God is not something that you have to do. It's something you get to do. And God will choose for you what you would choose for yourself if you had enough sense to choose it. You say, "Oh, but I might end up in Africa as a missionary." Ah, if you did, you'd want to go. Because it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And don't slander the character of God by making it seem like the only choice you have is between doing the will of God on one hand or fulfillment on the other hand. That's a slander to the character of God. You delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus Christ said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." Real satisfaction, real fulfillment comes in doing the will of God. But there must be a total commitment. "In all thy ways, acknowledge him." Now, some of you are saying, "Well, it doesn't work for me." Well, before you say that it doesn't work for you, and before you say that God has not guided you, I want you to ask this question very seriously and very personally. Are you trusting him with all your heart? In all of your ways, have you acknowledged him? Have you honestly, earnestly said, "Anywhere, any time, any cost"? Now, people, I had to search my heart before I could preach this message. And there are times in my life after the rest of my family have gone to bed when I have to get alone with God in the darkness and ask myself a question like that. Am I willing in all of my ways to acknowledge you? Is there something, Lord, that I've laid on the altar, that I've taken back off the altar? Friend, I want to tell you that God has a way that we can know his will. But number one, there must be a trusting confidence. We're to trust with all of our heart. Number two, there must be a total commitment in all of our ways. In every way, we are to acknowledge him as absolute sovereign Lord of our lives and make a total commitment. Number three, if we have that trusting confidence, if we make that total commitment, there will be a thrilling consequence. Look at it again in verse 6. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." No ifs, ands, and buts about it. He shall direct thy paths. Now, as we're right here on this verse, I want you to see several things about this. First of all, there's going to be a divine direction, and that's wonderful. But coupled to it and conjoined with it, there will be a divine dynamic, and that, friend, is fabulous. Now, I want you to see it. I'll tell you, if it doesn't excite you, you've got calluses on your soul. You pay attention here. There's going to be a divine direction. He shall direct thy paths. God is going to say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Well, how will he direct my paths? How can God speak to me? How will he speak? One way that God will speak is through his word. We know clearly the book of Proverbs is his word. The book of Psalms says in 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How am I going to find God's way in a dark day? God's word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I'm going to know by the word of God. For example, much of the will of God is revealed in his word, the moral choices that I have to make. Sometimes a man will come to me for counseling and he'll say something like this, well, Pastor, you know, I'm married to thus and such a woman, but there's another woman that I really feel is God's will for my life. Would you pray with me about it, Pastor? No need to pray about it. I mean, God's not going to change his word for you or for anybody else. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And, we can't be like the man who stood up in a meeting and read the scripture and then absentmindedly said, if there are no additions or corrections to the scriptures, they'll stand approved as read. They stand. And we're going to know the will of God through the Holy Bible. If you would know God's way, you better know God's word. But I'll tell you another way. God will speak directly to your heart when you pray and ask God for wisdom. God speaks to the human heart. There are some who do not believe this. There are some who do not believe that God speaks supernaturally to the inner man. I believe it with all of my heart. How is God going to speak? He's going to communicate to our spirit. For example, after Judas fell by transgression, the apostles wanted to know who should take Judas' place. Acts chapter 1 and verse 24, and they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whither of these two thou hast chosen. Lord, you know our hearts. Now show which of the two, Lord, that you have chosen. And God speaks to human hearts. God gives wisdom when we pray. Now, he may speak other ways. He may speak through providence, but many times he speaks in the quietness of the heart. That's the reason we need to understand that prayer is a two-way street. When we pray, we don't just pray at God. We talk with God. Have you ever been in a conversation when a person does all the talking? It's really not even a conversation, is it? They just talk at you. You know what an egotist is? An egotist is somebody who talks about himself so much you don't have time to talk about yourself, huh? That's an egotist. That's the reason why we don't like to be around an egotist. He has eye trouble. He's full of self. Now, many times we come to God this way. And rather than saying, speak, Lord, your servant hears, we say, listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. And we don't listen to God. We don't get quiet and still and let the still small voice of God's Holy Spirit speak to our spirit. God can speak to our hearts. An example, Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. Deacon Philip was out in the wilderness, and the Bible says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to that chariot. The Spirit said. Now, how do you think he said it? Do you think he said, Philip, this is the Lord. Go over there. No. Philip was in tune. He was in the stream of the Spirit. He was impressed in his heart to go. Or again, Acts chapter 13, verse 2. The church is praying, seeking God's way to spread the gospel. And the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And the great missionary enterprise of Barnabas and Saul was started when the Holy Spirit spoke to the church communally, together, corporately. The Spirit of God gave a corporate consensus as He moved upon the hearts of those people as they were fasting, praying, ministering, the Bible calls it, to the Lord. Let me give you another one. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah wanted to know God's will about this great building program that God had set before them. And here's something precious. In Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 5, here's what Nehemiah said. And my God put into mine heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people. My God, he said, put it into my heart. That is, God had a plan for his people, and God put it in the heart of Nehemiah. I believe when we pray, God knows how to speak to the human heart. I'll tell you, dear friend, not only are we going to know God's will by God's word, not only are we going to know God's will in direct answer to prayers, God speaks to our heart, but God also is going to give us wisdom. We're going to know God's way by God's wisdom. Now, the book of Proverbs deals so much with wisdom and understanding. And the Bible doesn't say we're not to have understanding. It says we're not to lean on our own understanding. But contrarywise, if any man lack wisdom, James says in James 1:5, let him ask of God that giveth liberally to all men, upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Only let him ask in faith. Remember this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Only let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, and it shall be given him. He shall direct thy paths. God does give wisdom. And what is wisdom? It's not just feeling warm around the heart and wet around the lashes. It's not just having goosebumps and liver shivers. Wisdom is sanctified common sense. Wisdom is having the mind of Christ. Wisdom is having understanding from knowing the Word of God and the principles of God's Word. And in a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. And so we can come and find the will of God that way. Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse said, I'm convinced that 90% of the will of God is found above the neck. You see, the Bible tells us that we are to appeal to this wisdom. Ephesians 5, verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now listen again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15, Paul said, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. That is, use your intellect. On fire with the Holy Spirit, having the mind of Christ, thinking the thoughts of Christ after Him. Another way that He directs our paths is through providence. In the book of the Revelation, He says, I am He that openeth, and no man shutteth. I am He that shutteth, and no man openeth. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Someone has well said, the door to the room of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. Paul said, there's an open door and many adversaries. Sure there is. And it'll be blood, sweat, and tears. But I'll tell you, when God opens a door, there's not a demon in hell that can shut it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now listen. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying that we know God's way by God's word. We know God's way by God's witness as He speaks to our hearts. We know God's way by God's wisdom as He gives it to us. We know God's way by God's work, His providence, as He opens doors and closes doors. He shall direct thy paths. There is a divine direction. But now wait a minute. Here's the sweet part. That word, direct, the Hebrew word, yasher, literally means to cut a path, to clear the way. Some of you who have a translation other than the King James will read something like this. He shall make thy paths straight. Or another translation, He shall make your paths smooth. Because that is the literal rendering of the word yasher. And the idea actually is this. Not only leading, but leading by clearing the way. What happens is that God actually just clears the way for the child of God. In Isaiah chapter 40, this same phrase is used. Now I want you to hear how it's used, verses 3 and 4. It speaks of John the Baptist, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, listen to it, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And then he says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Hallelujah. Do you know what God does for the man of God? Do you know what God does for the boy, the girl, the lady that is walking in the stream of His Spirit? Do you know what God does for a person who trusts Him with all of their heart and acknowledges Him in all of their ways? Friend, he bulldozes a path through the wilderness. That's exactly what it means. It means to cut a path, and mountains will melt, and valleys will be filled, and crooked places will be made straight, and God smooths the way for his people, and God goes before his people to make a way when they walk in the stream of the Spirit. God is saying that if we will trust him with all of our heart, if in all of our ways we will acknowledge him, God's going to put an angel with a bulldozer who's going to cut a path through the wilderness. Every mountain shall melt. Every valley shall be filled. The crooked place shall be made smooth. And the Bible says if in all of our ways we will acknowledge him, he will make straight our paths. He will make smooth our paths. God is going to clear a way. Are you listening? No man, no demon, no force, no power on earth can stand before the people of God when they're walking in the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? If you don't believe it, you ought to close your Bible and never read it again. Just get out of the whole business. Because, dear friend, if the devil is greater than we are, if the devil is greater than the Christ in us, that is, then we're of all people most miserable. But who can stand against the people of God? Who can stand against the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, the people of God who have trusted him with all of their heart, have committed everything to him, and in all of their ways acknowledged him? Then God says, I'm going to rev up that bulldozer, and I'm going to cut away in the wilderness for God's people. Hallelujah. That's exciting. There is a divine direction, and that divine direction is coupled with a divine dynamic. God makes a way. God makes a way for those who love him and those who follow him. How are you going to know God's will for your life? Listen, God's will is not a road map, it is a relationship. Get that big and plain. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord. I'm glad it's not a road map. The way to find God's will for the rest of your life is to do God's will for the next 15 minutes. A man said, well, I've been called to be a missionary. His friend asked him, well, what are you doing for the Lord now? He said, well, not much. He said, then please don't go overseas and do it. Amen? Listen, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. And if you're not faithful in the small things, and if you're not faithful in the everyday things, why should God reveal to you the big things? I'm telling you again, the way to know God's will for your life is to do God's will in the next 15 minutes, and do God's will today. Get in the stream of God's Spirit. In all your ways, acknowledge him. The big things, the little things, the social life, the personal life, all of your life, acknowledge him. And God will rev up that bulldozer, and God will clear a way through the wilderness for you. And you'll find God's way in a dark day.
Do you know the Jesus Adrian Rogers spoke about? You can know abundant, eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus. Ask him to save you. Fully trust in Christ today. You might pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves judgment, but you died to pay the penalty for my sin. So I repent of those sins now, Lord. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life. Make me a new person in you. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. And help me to live for you from now on. Amen. And today, if you give your life to Christ, you'll want to learn how to walk with him each day. We want to help you with materials that will encourage and strengthen you as a new believer. Just write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. In Canada, you can write us at P.O. Box 152, Maple Ridge, B.C., V2X7G1. And if you have more questions about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, lwf.org. Click on the Discover Jesus link on our homepage for more information. If you'd like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.